All right, I want to welcome everyone to the meeting of the Budget Administration Committee for the Cameron Park Community Services District. It is Tuesday, November 2nd, 2021. We are beginning our meeting at 6:40 p.m. General Manager, would you do roll call, please?
Director Easton?
Here.
And Director Carlson?
Here.
All right. Normally, we would talk about public testimony. Seeing there is no public here, we will waive the reading of that from the agenda and move to the adoption of tonight's agenda.
I would like to ask that the committee consider a change in our agenda. I would like to move item 3D, so it's the top of your second page. It says LDOT disposal implementing SB1583. It has my name next to it, actually, while I was gone. There's some confusion about the agenda. So we would like to actually move that to item 1 and have Jeff England and Ross Griegsecker, did I say it right?
Perfect.
Oh, good.
Yep.
make that presentation for all of you.
Wonderful. So duly noted. Any other changes, Director Carlson?
No.
All right. Do we have a motion?
Yeah, I move to approve the agenda as amended with item 3D in first place.
There you go.
Spectacular. Okay. Can we roll call vote, please?
Director Easton?
Aye.
Director Carlson?
Aye.
So moved. We now move to the approval of the conformed agenda. Any questions, comments, or motion?
I move to approve the conformed agenda.
I'll second that. Roll call, please, General Manager.
Director Easton?
Aye.
Director Carlson?
Aye.
All right, next we move to open forum, where members of the public may speak on any item not on the agenda that falls within the responsibility of the committee. Seeing no public here tonight, we will close open forum and move now to department matters. We have moved item 3D to first place in our agenda, department matters tonight. So with that, I'll hand it over.
Thank you for having us. Appreciate the opportunity. Ross has a share.
Thanks, Ross.
So what we are handing out tonight is the PowerPoint presentation that we would propose to share at the board meeting slash workshop if we're able to. Interactive as possible. The point or goal, and I think I'll kind of work in a timeline sense to introduce this, is that this is a condensed version of a leader's guide that we're calling it, a packet of information that is full of a lot of information that is direct from CalRecycle. It will speak to, and what you have here really is kind of a summarized version that we want to present of this leader's packet in the form of a presentation to a full board. This is a way of, for us, fulfilling our obligation, which is very much education and outreach to our jurisdictions with regard to upcoming organics legislation and specifically SB 1383. So what we're looking to do is kind of water from a fire hose with this information packet that literally you've got slides from here, but the presentation will also include the presenter's notes. And we've got Q&As that come from out of CalRecycle. We've got a summary that we've written that will be a part of this for the different sections in it. Because it's important that everybody understands really the vast and pervasive nature of SB 1383. And so the timing works in conjunction with our getting our residential organics pilot program started. We're starting up the hill in Placerville and El Dorado County, and we've got a proposed route to discuss with you guys specific to El Dorado Hills and Cameron Park. excuse me. We're working through the same process in El Dorado Hills, meeting with the NAPOC committee there. They want to be able to look at it and say, okay, that's great. And so we're, you know, kind of same timing as it were there. So this is part of a process as it relates to being compliant with Senate Bill 1383. We're doing this in all the jurisdictions. Ross and I met with Cleveland Pierre of Placerville today. We will be presenting to this to El Dorado Hills Board, County Board of Supervisors, Placerville Board next Tuesday. And it is to ensure that we fulfill again our obligation to educate and do the appropriate outreach for leaders in El Dorado County so they fully, you know, vet what we're addressing with regard to 1383. So we'll begin our pilot programs this fall, and we will then be working surveys through Survey Monkeys of people who are in those areas. We'll do that through the end of this year. We'll be initially working every other week, which is the same as the existing green waste routes. But then we will be at some point also experimenting with weekly routes. It's important that we identify what folks really want, the people who are participatory. It's also important that we confirm what our costs are relative to weekly or bi-weekly service, or things like mandatory cart distribution to everyone or only those who want it, or buckets, kitchen pails to everyone, or whether it's only kitchen pails to everyone who wants it. So we've got these costings to identify through this pilot process, and in a lot of ways what we've learned, we know what a bucket costs. What we don't know is, you know, is everybody going to want one?
Mm-hmm.
Or is Cal Recycle going to say, thou shall give one to everyone? In the initial pilot that we're doing right now, we've had a bunch of buckets returned, or we're just out there waiting for the driver to pick up, coming back. But we've also got people who are actively participatory.
How big are the buckets?
I can show you a picture. Actually, there's one in the program.
Looks like this, Jill.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and they're, what is it? I'm sorry.
A two-gallon?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
This is what you're talking about, right?
Exactly. Those are the exact ones.
Yeah. So we distributed those to the Placerville and El Dorado County residents there with information, how to, as it were. Best way to mitigate the ick factor by layering, you know, your food waste with your green waste. Here's how it works. Here's why you're getting this. And so we'll be diligently tracking through these surveys and other outreach, you know, is it working? Are you interested? Do you care? You know, the number of buckets that we've gotten back, you know, still doesn't mean that we don't have an obligation, you know, to provide, you know, the program. So the related timing is that we work through this until the end of the year, and then in Q1 of next year, we come back to boards and we talk about the related costs of implementing the program on July the 1st, 2022. And so that would be the time where we would look to be full board in the mandated areas in El Dorado County West Slope. I should interject that at this time, the County Environmental Department is applying to exempt areas based either on elevation or population density, and that's very much in process right now. And unknown as to areas like Georgetown or Cool or Lotus and whether they'll be in play or not. But we do know that the 50 corridor, as it were, will almost certainly be mandatory specific to the program. How El Dorado County legal, how City of Placerville legal, choose to interpret and implement SB 1383 relative to what mandatory is, kind of remains to be seen. at this, so where they are right now is that they are developing ordinances to meet a 1383 mandate that in 2022 responsible jurisdictions have ordinances on the book. They aren't expected to enforce those ordinances in 2024, but they're developing that language right now. And so we're going to have that shortly. And I'm hoping it'll be a helpful guide and not too vague to, you know, kind of guidance as what to expect with what with how the county is looking at it, and Placerville for that matter, too, with regard to what mandatory really means,
yeah.
Especially in the non-mandatory county. So we've got some things to learn, in short, as we work our way through the pilot process and then take everyone to a point in quarter one where we're saying, here's what it costs to do it every week, here's what it costs to do it every other week, here's what it costs to do it with buckets, without buckets, and to help develop a rate schedule that is palatable for each jurisdiction and that meets the mandate of SB 1383. So that's really what we're working towards, and kind of the related timing. That we anticipate that we would incrementally work in neighborhoods and routes, I should say, into the pilot programs prior to July 1st. That would be an incremental process over time. Maybe we would just flip the switch on July 1st and say, okay, we're just going to do it all, you know, all now. If we have things like car rollouts and those sort of operational tasks to do, they can be really challenging on a large scale. So that's how we're looking to approach this.
So the test program, pilot program, will really identify costs, because your July 1st start date really is coming right at the same time that fees are typically approved.
Precisely.
Annual fee adjustment.
Right. It's timed in that way deliberately. CalRecycle has already stated that jurisdictions will not be subject to penalties in 2022 relative to SB 1383 and implementation, provided that you're able to demonstrate that you've got a program and it's in motion and it's sufficient. We have a good track record because of our good work on AB 1826, the commercial food waste program. We have a very excellent compliance record there, and we're making progress since the threshold has changed from 4 yard to 2 yard on the commercial food waste front there, especially post-pandemic. California has been pretty strident in saying we're going to continue to maintain these expectations, and we're going to reduce the threshold from 4 yard to 2 yard, which they did actually September of 2020, really at kind of the height of the pandemic. So it tells you how serious they are about organics and getting the stuff out of the landfills. So.
But there's penalties in 2023.
There could be.
Could be.
From your timeline, it sounds like 2024 is when.
Well, so the actual enforcement. The state has an expectation as part of 1383 that you'll have an ordinance on the books in 2022 and be prepared to enforce it in 2024. It doesn't mean the CalRecycle won't be putative or put you on double secret probation, as it were, because your program's not far enough along or something along those lines. We've been there with a commercial program. We were slow in some ways because we didn't want to burden where we were at, frankly, was when we were having the recycle crisis and having to ask people to say, we need help with recycle. And so we just didn't feel like we could double whammy businesses in particular and say, we're going to hit you now with this food waste program. So we did the dance with CalRecycle. We did enough over time to say our program is here. And then when we had to, we got our asses in gear and we got people onboarded and we did what we had to do. And we got to an 80% plus compliance rate at the 4 yard threshold prior to the pandemic. So pandemic, what happens with restaurants and everything. They reduce the threshold from 4 yards to 2 yards. That increases the number of businesses in play, you know, exponentially. And so what we're working to do now is meet the commercial mandates, because CalRecycle's been very clear, no, this has to happen here. And so we're doing that right now. That's what our two sustainability people do most of the time, and now they're working towards getting the residential program moving forward.
So let me recap what I remember from our conversation. Jeff Ross and I met probably 6 weeks ago to kind of talk about the rollout of this program and how the district can help with the rollout and educating our residents. And there's Cameron Park, El Dorado Hills, and the county that have agreements with El Dorado Disposal. And so it appears, or it is, that this mandatory food recycling organics program is kind of predicated on mandatory garbage collection. And the county doesn't have mandatory garbage collection. And so I think that it will be quite the conversation up at the county about whether or not they will buy into the program, implement the program, what are the repercussions if they don't, et cetera, et cetera. Am I kind of recapping that correctly?
No, that's exactly right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's and frankly, you know, with the county, who knows?
Mm-hmm.
Could send them to the state of Jefferson. You just don't know.
Mm-hmm.
With something like this, one or two of them might put their flag on the hill, with it or something. Who knows?
Mm-hmm.
We'll see. That's why I'm really curious to see what their ordinance says. That's going to come out of the environmental department and their legal folks, and then whether the board buys off on it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just going to be interesting as all heck.
So
we'll mm-hmm. see. And that's going to be really guiding with regard to the county and this non-mandatory situation, which rather flies in the face of the language of SB 1383.
Right. So I guess my point is that, we have a strategic plan, and part of our strategic plan says that we want to have environmental sustainability. I think it calls out specifically this element. As we move forward, I think that there's going to be a lot of conversation from our residents about, well, why are we doing this if another jurisdiction is not, whether it's El Dorado Hills or the county, and there is a cost factor to this.
Mm-hmm.
What was striking to me when we were chatting is that Jeff keeps talking about the ick factor, which is truly a factor. So if you add it to your green waste, and your green waste is only picked up every other week, and if you live in Pollock Pines and you would have bears, that's a problem.
Yeah, right.
But even birds and dogs and raccoons and stuff like that that is down here in County Park. And so if you go to every week, but there's a cost factor. So, you're balancing this program that is being forced upon us, and what will the residents buy into, and how much is it going to cost?
I don't know if we're ready for questions yet, or if you guys are still presenting.
I think that everything that I just said would rather segue to this.
Okay.
If you'd like to, work through it or use it as a way to, kind of frame the conversation, we can do this very quickly. But because part of this is obviously to prep you, prior to presenting to the board, get mm-hmm. your input. If you thoughts, suggestions, we're open to. So that's really the other intent tonight is to share this with you and then get on the board schedule and then kind of figure out how we put this out. So what we want to do initially is provide an update on the transfer building and progress with the MRF construction.
Mm-hmm.
Our new building, as you see pictured there, is going to be operational later this month.
Wow.
It's very
that's
exciting.
Amazing.
That's the first phase of really three big phases. After this, we've got you know, we get to learn our new, you know, SOPs for the building and our material handler. We just got some interesting new equipment and things to work with that relate to the new building. We've got time to work through that. Then we've got building of the administration building occurring starting next spring. That will include an education center and offices and areas for our employees there. And then next fall, about a year from now, we'll be doing the demolition of the existing building there. So all that will come down. We'll have to move the baler and our sewer line and probably mothball some things temporarily. And then we'll, you know, do that huge demo and then be working on the next phase, which will be another building, potentially an extension of the existing building or another facility, and then figuring out all of the, you know, operational logistics associated with the last end of the project so that we'd be done in 2023.
Wow.
So that's kind of
great.
The timing and where we are with the MRF. If you've got any questions, like I said, afterwards, or as it relates to pictures or how things are going to flow there, happy to.
We need a tour.
Hmm?
When it's all done, we need a
tour.
Oh,
yeah.
All
I want to
see this. Yeah. You know, yeah, we're really looking forward to getting started in there. We talked about 1826, kind of, you know, touched on where we are with that. We wanted to do an update on that. Because that really, you know, segues to 1383, and again, that's how we finish out is taking you through slides. This one is about the pilot program. Ross, we've got the pictures of those are actual buckets that are going out to the houses as part of the pilot program. And again, you know, we'll survey and see what it is that's working for people or not, and track that throughout the pilot process. Let's just work through that, I guess, and then we can kind of talk about the area that we looked at for the pilot and stuff. And then really, again, these are slides from the Cal Recycle presentation there. And what we've done in the leader's guide that we're putting together is included the presenter's notes with that. We've also included the questions there. And so there's an awful, you can get as weedy as you want to with the information that we're gonna give these leader's guide binders.
Okay.
There. This is kind of a summary on. But we think these slides summarize the big dogs, you know, really with the goal of everybody understanding what we've got of teamwork to meet these mandates and what the opportunities and then, you know, related costs are.
Jeff, I'll just add real quick, please. Too, that these are basically snippets right out of Cal Recycle's information bank. So if you just kind of look over here at this packet, I mean, you know, each slide, CalRecycle provides a ton of info with each one.
Okay.
And we've actually only selected certain ones out of their main presentation just to keep it focused.
Right.
And not overwhelming. But this, the complete version will be in your leader's guide, and it will, you know, you'll be able to, in a sense, read exactly as it states from CalRecycle. And then we'll kind of do our best to highlight the most important pieces for you guys.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a lot of the questions you probably will have and that you may even ask tonight will be in here. And it's interesting. I've thought personally how ambiguous some of the things are, especially around enforcement, around penalties. To kind of go back to something that was mentioned earlier, as far as what happens January 1st, 2022, you know, it says directly in here that the first 2 years will be focused on educating generators. You know what I mean? So it's interesting.
Mm-hmm. So again, that's really what, you know, what we're looking to do and have you guys be in the lead as far as, you know, what you're familiar with and ready to ask questions, especially this board presentation to help educate the board as well as the public, you know, about what's coming. We know we're going to have some information anecdotal or through the surveys that the pilots have been doing already. And, you know, we know a lot from communities in the state. We've certainly studied it for a long time about what to expect. But I wouldn't predict the outcome as to what people are going to want with regard to every other week or weekly service and things of that nature. And in short, what they're going to be willing to, you know, to pay for relative to what doing those different things costs. Mm-hmm. So that's what we're all kind of standing to learn, and will be very much an interactive process after we get through the first of the year and the holidays, and we've kind of accumulated information and data for the first of next year.
Will we need to update our district's ordinance to include organic?
You probably will. I think it's going to be really interesting to see what the county comes out with in their ordinance, and whether, you know, how specific or vague it is, and if it references the jurisdictions or how it, you know, provides guidance.
Okay, I'll have to pull our ordinance, our mandatory waste collection ordinance, and see if we need to.
Depending on, and again, it's something that you folks would probably want to, you know, you may want to have your legal look at 1383. You're not under the, you know, enforcement mandate, as it were. You don't have the same burden, certainly, that the county does. But it can't hurt for you to look at with regard to anticipating, you know, what the expectations for your jurisdiction are going to be. You already have mandatory service. We already provide a green waste card, two green waste, you know, free ones, potentially four total, to everyone here. So in essence, if the service were to remain every other week, it could stay exactly as it is for, you know, customers. But we have costs relative to what it costs us to dispose of it, and other infrastructure like pails or those kinds of things. Our material cost to dispose of the organic material, right now it's about $31. At Lopez Ag in Sacramento, it's going to go to $55 per, this is per ton. At a recycling facility where it will be windrowed and composted in Yolo County. So we have more transportation costs to move it, because it has to go further out to a facility that does that. And then we've also got, on a per ton basis, and if you think about it, one of our trucks running around picking up green waste picks up about 8 tons in a full load. So that's a significant increase specific to the disposal cost associated with that, which is all part, a very big part of why we have to have a rate conversation.
Yeah.
If we go weekly, then we're looking at trucks and drivers to do that.
More trucks because you can't.
But you certainly are going to have people who go, ick, you know, I want weekly service, and you're probably going to have some, you know, who may say, I'm willing to pay for it, and have to, you know, balance that. That's all part of the conversation we're going to be having.
And that might almost necessitate a community survey once we get far enough along that people can measure that.
We would have to be redundant with our survey. we're going to do our Survey Monkey. If you guys, I think, redundancy and trying to find out how people really feel about it can't hurt a bit.
Well, so, I'm sorry, I'll just add a comment, and you look like you're waiting to say something.
Yes.
Just to tag on that, because the redundancy in that, you will be asking potentially different questions than we would, in that you're asking if they want this or they want that. We're bringing to them, there's the rate increase.
Right.
I'm not sure if that would come in your
surveys. We've actually looked at asking a general question, would you be willing to pay in this range or something along those lines?
Okay.
You know, the service for that, because it's such an important question, why dance around it?
Right.
So we're putting it out there rather generally, okay. Like that. But again, I think both of us asking, you know, the same or different questions is all to the good.
Okay. Dr. Carlson, you've been waiting patiently.
How can you tell? God, I thought I'm hiding my wanting to talk. So.
No.
It's not. So are residents now allowed to put food waste in the green waste bins?
they haven't been prior to this.
Uh-huh.
It would have been considered contamination by Lopez Ag.
Got it.
Because of his different composting program, just isn't really used to it, so far as I know.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, and then you touched on some of the questions I had too. So I was reading this and thinking that in 2022, the CSD has to pass an ordinance, but we're not sure yet. Maybe we have to change the ordinance.
Yeah, we have one that calls for mandatory garbage collection.
Okay.
And I think it was tied specific, and correct me if I'm wrong, if you got more history, I think it was kind of tied also to green waste,
mm-hmm.
and green waste pickup, because at this kind of the same time, we also had our burn ordinance come through, so you can only burn mm-hmm. on residential property for a couple of weeks. So I think it was an air quality kind of initiative mm-hmm. To go to this mandatory garbage service, and was kind of linked with green waste.
No, that sounds plausible.
Yeah.
I wasn't here then. It was
okay.
Even not before my time, but yeah. So you do have mandatory service. What is subject to interpretation is whether now organic service is mandated,
right.
And whether anybody who doesn't have a green waste card has to have one now, and the ability to mix their food waste and their green waste here, and it's not such a rough question as it were here, where a lot of folks have green waste cards and many have two, but further up in the county where people have pine needles and dirt. For organics, do we roll out carts to those folks? There are those kind of things that are going to be really interesting.
Yeah.
But as it relates to Cameron Park, I would suggest that you look at SB 1383 mm-hmm. and spend the time to say, well, that's what the word mandatory means or doesn't mean,
right.
Relative to organics. Because frankly, to me, it's easy to interpret that and say, oh shoot, everybody's got to have a green waste card and the ability to do this.
And then with the local governments take enforcement, so is that going to be like us? Is that the county? Is that you guys as our partners?
Yeah.
At this point, my understanding is that is El Dorado County and the city of Placerville as reporting entities to CalRecycle.
Got it.
I'm very sure that'll hold.
Okay.
What's a little nuanced here is that we have a franchise agreement as the hauler, with the two CSDs there, and so we very much have a relationship with regard to making the program work. And I wouldn't want to speculate, as to what the county would have to do from an enforcement standpoint if. Cameron Park or El Dorado Hills said, no, we're not going to do this,
right.
or, something like that. I really don't want to speculate on that at all. But it's all part of, this conversation, relative to the state saying, you're going to do this. And again, how you interpret the mandatory nature of this organics program.
Which is why there's a two-year window before.
I'm sorry?
Which is why it seems there's a two-year window before it.
Exactly, and why to Ross's point,
bring down the big boot.
CalRecycle's emphasized education and outreach of the drivers there. And frankly, typically, we saw with 1826, we saw it back with commercial recycling. It's not as though, I believe they are intentionally vague, and they let us, meaning we, figure it out. So much of that's been the case. It is here because there's so much of organics that's not figured out.
Mm-hmm.
We found a place to take it to. Thankfully, it's only in Yolo. We have been hauling to Napa to find a place to be able to take it, which is just a brutal transportation cost. But thankfully, we've had this relationship with UC Davis, and
mm-hmm.
we only had to take the commercial that far. But I will share with you, that disposal cost is $62 a
ton. Wow.
It's even more than what we're going to be paying to windrow this stuff a few miles down the road out in Yolo County out there. And again, we pay $31 for green waste right now.
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Any other questions, Director Carlson?
I don't have any other questions right now. Thank you.
So do you want to speak to or the pilot round and any other points, Ross?
Yeah, if you guys care to hear where we were thinking. Yeah.
Yes, actually, I was very curious about that.
Yeah, we were proposing a route that's kind of right on the line of El Dorado Hills and Cameron Park, so in a sense, we can capture
both
jurisdiction data information.
Okay.
And meet the need. It's Magnolia Hills Drive right off Bass Lake.
Okay, I would say around T Rose there.
Yeah, I can. If you want to check this out, you probably
sure.
know a little better than me trying to spit off road.
No, that's the hills of El Dorado, essentially, in that neighborhood around there.
No, is T Rose on there? Yeah, we know we have some active customers on T Rose, actually.
Yeah.
And there's a chance that this changes a little bit, you know, just based on El Dorado Hills and some of our conversations down there. But, the idea for Cameron Park and El Dorado Hills is a real dense area. You know, where we can get a lot of participation, or at least encourage a lot of participation, and really learn quickly what people like, don't like, need, don't need, that sort of thing.
Okay.
And then I guess beyond that, our informational packet is in production as we speak. So I think we're hoping to see that towards the end of this week. And the idea, too, is to get that to you folks as soon as possible so you have a chance to look through it. Maybe formulate any questions you have before the presentation and kind of just help drive the presentation a little easier to understand, you know.
So remind me again when you're wanting to pilot this route.
Soon.
Yeah, we're
yesterday.
Yeah, because soon. You know, because we're able to start it on a bi-weekly basis, mm-hmm. it conforms to the existing route.
Right.
Which means we can pretty much flip the switch once we do the outreach. And give people, you know, a couple weeks' notice.
Mm-hmm.
I think our intention is still to roll buckets out to everyone, learn whether that's helpful or not, or, you know.
I'm assuming that'll be kind of an after-the-holidays thing? Or
No. We would like to do it sooner. Really, frankly, it gets down to when we can get in front of ad hoc with El Dorado Hills.
Okay.
Jump through whatever hoops they want
okay.
us to jump through.
I'm thinking off the top of my head. I don't know that we, as a board, need to approve this pilot program.
Oh no, we're not looking for approval. You're just asking questions. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm just thinking more.
Yeah, so for us, you guys have a green light to start that whenever you get buy-in from El Dorado Hills.
We appreciate that.
And I think too, you know, depending on timing at El Dorado Hills, that's why I kind of started with this may change.
Yeah.
Because if it's taking too long, we might just change the area and get this going soon.
If it's because some things are contentious or you know what's up there, they were hesitant to just say yeah, sure. We've had real good meetings with staff there, and then it was like, well, okay, are you sure? Or I don't know. It's just they said, okay, whoa, and so we're going to meet with their ad hoc, mm-hmm. but then that got delayed, so we just don't know the timing down there to answer your question.
I just didn't know if the holidays would have any negative impact on your ability to do that with people.
We can pretty much
coming and going
flip the switch once we're able to say, you know, here's everything. We might, you know, generally we don't like to do stuff around the holidays just because it's a already a hoopty. Maybe we would just wait till after the first of the year.
Yeah.
Our goal is to start it sooner and have it going.
Well, we've been talking about this for 2 years now.
You know, in the grand scheme of things, it's about having the conversations first quarter about rates and services, and then understanding that so we're ready for July 1st.
How many people potentially Cameron Park residents would be in this pilot?
Well, one route's maybe 700-800 customers.
Oh wow! So there's quite a few.
Yeah,
so
take,
even if
well, yeah, the two yeah, there's like 200 Cameron Park and about 500 or so.
Yeah, that's the sort of split. So
okay.
Yeah.
Cameron Park is a
little.
Yeah.
First one,
it's,
but we want to add neighborhoods as we go, but we want enough that's a decent sample size too.
Right, and that's what I was trying to get at is what's that sample size? Because if we have 7,600 parcels, I think is what we have.
Sounds about right.
And so. You know, we would want enough of a sample size, you know.
Yeah.
So, I mean, 200 is pretty good if everybody
wants.
We're happy to take guidance on where we start the next one or anything along those lines.
Monique's neighborhood.
Well, that's...
Well, actually...
Monique's neighborhood, or boy, I really want to know what those guys are thinking.
Right.
You know, we're open, you know.
Well, yeah, and I am curious what happens when you get into the apartment complexes, the more densely populated areas, yeah. how that impacts what you're doing. I know people in both of those neighborhoods, so I'll tap them once you guys start and kind of get a sense.
Yeah, that's great. Well, and a lot individual of the apartments people. Will fall under 1826, at least for now.
Yeah.
Correct.
Okay. Commercial. Perfect. Okay.
Yeah, so that's kind of its own beast, luckily.
Right.
Okay. We kind of started that path. And I think the idea of having these routes first is these were good places to start bi-weekly and then have the possibility to move to weekly. It's really easy for us just to say this route's going to now add food waste in the state bi-weekly mm-hmm. as we need to add more customers to the pilot. So.
So again, you're okay with them starting
yes.
pilot programs?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Yes. Oh yeah, we need to do this. This okay. July 1 is when okay. we want to be ready
yeah.
to.
Yeah.
As far
yeah,
as
July 1 is like, really when we feel like we have to pull the trigger 100% on the mandated areas.
Yeah.
And I'll put, you know, air quotes, I guess, around mandated.
Mm-hmm. Until we figure that out, yeah.
Yeah. And I encourage you as a CSD to take a look at SB 1383 mm-hmm. and interpret for yourselves what organic mandate means mm-hmm. For your jurisdiction.
How long?
Do you think the CSDA, they'll be coming out with some guidance, I would imagine?
I can certainly ask, yeah.
Well, that's the whole intent with our leaders' guides and the presentation is to really start the conversation because it's there are so many elements to it. There's you know food recovery. There's
yeah.
A procurement piece to it.
Yeah.
So
headache upon headache.
Jeff Ross and I talked a lot about community outreach.
Yeah.
And you know I think that. We have great community outreach in some aspects of the district, you know, meetings and things like that, but at our board meetings, we don't have a lot. And so, you guys were at Boogash, though. You guys had a turnout mm-hmm. at Boogash. Yeah, there was like 400
That's great.
Is that what the number was?
It was
so
amazing.
Fun.
So,
yeah, our people had a good time.
Yeah.
They said it was really well organized and moved right along.
Yeah, oh, that's good.
That always makes the folks happy.
Good. So, you know, thinking about what's the best way to get this information out to our residents. Mm-hmm. So we're working right now to put out an off-cycle e-newsletter. Okay. So our district newsletter, I think, is either going out in the next couple of days. But
it
probably
went out.
It went out.
I read it, yeah. I was thrilled.
And we'll have one dedicated just to this subject in about a week or 2 weeks. And so...
Okay.
They've provided content. We've shipped it over to Tina Goins, our designer, and so we'll get that
good.
Out.
I know Tina. She does good work.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So I guess part of that would be just obviously keep us in touch with timeline. Just so we're aware when it starts rolling.
Is there a board meeting?
Board meeting on November 17th, so we could do this in a workshop kind of setting. you know, we can actually, if the newsletter dedicated to this subject goes out just prior to that, we can promote people to come, you know, to this meeting to learn more. Mm-hmm. If you incentivize things, people will come. So I don't know if we can. Mm-hmm. I mean, we
free trash.
Not have. People taking surveys or people doing, you know, engaging with us.
Yeah.
But when we did a free drawing for an annual pass, if you take this survey,
we'll sponsor something like that.
So if you guys can do something, or giveaways, anything.
Put a six yarder out there. We can sponsor a sponsorship for the pool. Mm-hmm. And we're open to a creative way of getting folks here.
Yeah, so we can
That's fine. Yeah. Whatever works, that's all good.
Free trash for whoever wants it.
Yeah. We used to give away like a 2 months of free residential or something, and it got to be a pain in the butt.
Yeah,
but free six yarder people find really handy. They go over really well at auctions at fundraisers. We do that all the time.
What is it?
One of our 6 yard bins.
Oh, okay.
One of those that's about, you know.
I need to clean out my garage.
Perfect.
That's the kind
exactly.
of thing you
it's
when you clean out your garage.
One of those. And it's got about $185, $190 value now or something like that. So those go over, and we use those a lot, like I said, at fundraisers, uh-huh. as auction items. So we could put that out there for you, and if you want us to sponsor a membership for the pool or something or whatever.
We can do something, maybe we do something, a workshop setting, but then we have some pre-drawings and we maybe entice some people to come.
Sure.
You know.
Mm. Would, just silly question, would you have buckets there that people could take and start if they wanted to? I don't know how that works, because if they're not a part of the pilot program, how do they implement it? What do they do?
Yeah, I think we could do that. Realistically, too, if they weren't in the pilot area, you know, it's going to be a small amount on the grand scheme of, like, let's just say a truckload of green waste.
Yeah.
So it wouldn't necessarily be a bad thing to have them throw a little food waste in their green waste.
Well, and that's what I'm thinking, is if we get people come out and they're starting, and then you're...
Yeah, we'll
explain that. Can I have one?
Information pack that goes
absolutely.
Serious. I mean, bring one for every board member.
Yeah.
Bring one for every staff member, and we'll just become serious. We'll just become part of working this, and
I think we're gonna run with this. Thanks.
Do people? I'm channeling Monique right now. But do people ever say, "I don't want a plastic bucket. I'm just gonna use like my metal pots and pans or something like that"?
I think we're gonna get everything. Responses just from the first
one.
We found them thrown. We've had people, you know, I guess, hand them to the.
Someone put a nice sticky note on one that says, "I compost. I don't need it."
Yeah, there's a lot of people that compost.
So really polite. Yeah.
But I mean, do people use a metal pot instead of? Anyway, yeah, you get everything.
I used to do that quite honestly for home composting. Mm-hmm. Just kind of throw it all in the mixing bowl and prep it, and you just take it outside.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
very common thing. Or people's composting habits in this process.
Guess so.
Yeah. Interesting. But again, I guess maybe the closing note is we're also open to encouraging and supporting any community garden projects or anything like that.
Right.
Whether it's through a school, which is a cool way to kind of do those things. We've sponsored community gardens at schools before. If you get a leader at the school, you know, who can get behind, which is what you have to have.
You got to have somebody
really
who loves that.
You know, get behind it, and then the admin at the school's got to want to do it too. But we're happy to help, you know, pay to get started and do composting, you know, courses and information. We have all that. We have a PowerPoint on how to compost, all that stuff, and our sustainability. That's what they do. And now that we're able to get out in the world again, that's very much a part of it.
Do you happen to know if you're connected to the Valley View Charter Montessori in El Dorado Hills? I know that's where my son's at school, and I know they have a garden.
I don't know. I don't remember being involved in getting that one started. I know we've done some, and there's, what is the, gosh darn it, a couple of schools in El Dorado Hills we did community gardens at.
Valley View Montessori?
Yeah, VVCM, Valley View Charter Montessori. It's in the Blackstone.
I think at the very least, we can have our sustainability reach out if we don't know it already.
Okay.
Try to encourage them.
We can go out and do a seminar, and if they need some help.
It's up to 8th grade, so.
Yeah, no, that's what we do.
If you need any, I'm sure you can reach out to them, but I'm a parent there, so I can help.
Well, for us, in kind of anticipating, you know, who knows what the actual participation is going to be, I think for us, projecting, doing the right thing, encouraging composting, identifying how people are doing it and where they're doing it, and then actively encouraging it, either through a community garden or a school garden, is going to be part of what we, El Dorado County tells CalRecycle. In the end.
Right.
This is what we're doing.
This is some of what we're having.
And then you hope that translates into less, you know, trash per capita, which is what we're ultimately going to get rated on.
Yeah. Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Well, maybe we can do something. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, there's a footnote in there, and this is one of those. Here's another idea, because you don't have enough of those on a list that you don't get to. Having just come from.
No, the
Board of Supervisors.
We're jumping on, so go ahead.
we can take pictures on Facebook.
With a little more awareness of homelessness in our county and underserved groups, I'm wondering if there might be some synergy with groups that provide food for underfed groups in our county. Where?
No, great observation, which directly relates to SB 1383 and food recovery programs. Mm-hmm. The county has a program. I'm not real familiar with it. I believe they're working with the food bank, and and I'm not sure who else there. I know Ross and I, from talking to Placerville today, the city of Placerville is looking to piggyback on the county's program there.
Okay.
And so we are kind of, I think our role is to be an enabler to a point, within that. It's not really actual distribution,
as it
were, but kind of helping connect the dots. Tim or somebody at El Dorado County says, hey, can you help with this? Be ready, enable. But there's a program and there's momentum with regard to that. And so okay. It would be great timing, and we can get you hooked up with the right people at the county or, whomever, Eric, to kind of help get you or Cameron Park involved in their food recovery and distribution programs there. I mean, I know we do some side things with the Hands for Hope program, okay. Placerville and stuff like that. And if you've got any local programs or anything too, there are opportunities to help make them more robust through SB 1383 and the mandates that are there.
Okay.
So maybe our board meeting on the 17th, maybe we start it, at 6 with some sort of fun, engaging activity for about 30 minutes, with information stations or bucket or, drawings and, interactive.
Draws, all that cool stuff.
Yeah, you can do some interactive things. And stuff like that, and then have our board meeting start at 6:30, but make sure that people know that they can stay and hear the presentation.
Sounds like a positive way to have a board meeting.
I like it. Okay. Cool. Any other relevant information for us? We'll look through this and be ready.
Yes, I will. Unfortunately, I have to report that we're still mired in Cal Recycle permit hell.
Yes.
With regard to the buyback center.
We really
have everything in place and done. I asked my supervisor, who's on point, bird dogging this through, and I said, no, please, find out if we're in the middle of the pile or what's going on. Everybody's behind. The county's terrible trying to get permits and things pushed through right now. We get the same story, but everything's, we're just waiting.
Who can I call?
Give me
a name and a number.
At Cal Recycle and see if that can help move it along. I'd be happy to. Hale Lynn is the name of the first name, but if I can get contact information that's helpful, I'd be glad to.
Please do. I am happy to call somebody and speak in their ear. And,
and
if they're close enough, I'll go sit at their desk.
Yeah, we're dying to clean up that mess.
That's just...
put it behind us.
Golly. It's ridiculous. One last question I forgot to ask earlier. What's the legislative advocating arm that you are connected to in regards to this? Or do you even have one?
Oh, we do, actually. Greg Stanton used to work through them. There's an advocacy group in the county, and then there's another one at the Capitol that we're associated with. I can get all that to you.
It's probably the Association of Counties.
Okay, I was just curious.
I guess where Greg was. Yeah, that sounds right.
Mm-hmm. I'm just curious where the state is hearing back from. Mm-hmm. Hold on, I suppose another other groups to say, look, this is...
We've got a lobbyist and all that good stuff, and if there's a way to get that out there or help band. Or help have Cameron Park be more of a voice, especially relative to reflecting feedback that we get as we move closer to this.
Okay.
Decision points for the district will be one, taking a look at our ordinance, but then two will come at fee time. So taking a look at our ordinance, the pilot program will, and a survey will kind of help us decide how to move forward with fees and frequency. And then the decision point for the board will be, okay, this is our recommendation for fees and frequency based on the feedback from the pilot programs and the survey we'll take.
Right. And then we would be prepared to execute on July 1st.
Yeah, so. July 1st, okay. Mm-hmm. So really probably a survey would, from our district, would probably need to go out like February, March timeframe. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's about when we like I said, I went before the end of Q1 so we can prepare adequately for July the 1st.
Okay, so effectively, we need to be deciding this with you April?
Even by March, or
March.
April at the latest, I would say, yes, Eric.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah,
okay.
For a July 1st mandate for us to move and
right.
Heaven and Earth and produce garbage trucks.
Right,
like
that's what I'm saying. Yeah, it's not just a July 1 rollout, it's a
yeah,
3 months earlier decision point.
Like that.
Okay.
Yeah, I would say.
Yeah, because we're usually talking rates in March, April, because I think we try to time it so it's
not over the top of budget discussion.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you guys
which
are,
isn't always, you know, we
you guys
can't
are pretty
always
efficient. We send a letter in March and then that begins the process typically.
Yeah.
I would look to accelerate, and this doesn't have to be, I guess we could think about whether or not we tie it to, you know, the general rate conversation and CPIs and all that other July stuff. But for us to have an understanding again of what the service requirements are going to be and ensure we've got the resources to execute in July, we would need to have this conversation and really have an understanding. I would say by April for sure, Eric.
Okay. Okay.
Let's
I think.
All right.
Okay.
I appreciate
anything
the time
else?
And hearing it all out.
No.
And I'll be in touch with you guys about the 17th.
Okay. Yeah, thanks.
We'll look forward to seeing you again and having a party.
It'll be an organics party.
I think they used to call that a food fight.
There you go.
Well, that goes along with being on double secret probation.
Actually, that would be a great segue. I can see it headlining our newsletter, food fight.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. That'll,
we could do pies.
That'll be the mountain.
Yep, your favorite board member.
And now here's how you clean it up, and here's what you do with it. Yeah.
Use the bucket.
The bucket.
No, depending on what it turns into up the hill, it could be quite the food fight.
I think so.
A real quick aside. So we were on a Cal Recycle call regarding AB 1826, and at the time we were struggling because this was last July, I believe. And our rep, field rep, said that her higher-ups had indicated a willingness to mandate a cart rollout to commercial customers who were compliant and essentially say, here's a cart, you're now going to get billed for organics and food waste service. And I said, that literally would be pitchforks and torches up in this county if you tried to do that. And I can only imagine trying to, Main Street, Placerville, and some, places to do it. But the point of the story is that's what they're contemplating at Cal Recycle relative to their programs and what they're, really considering. I found that amazing, I have to tell you.
State is not connected to the
right.
They just
don't have a clue what it. Yeah.
They were very kind of taken aback by the fact. So we go to every restaurant, we go to every business, and introduce the program and say, here's where the cart goes. Do you have room for a bucket? We go to their back room, and that's what we do with every single one of them. And they're like, you do a site check for blah blah blah, and do this and that. And we're like, yeah. How else do you get somebody to understand they're going to be paying this much more, and it's not going to reduce their trash expense? Every single one of them asks, and we say, no, we've learned that's not what happens. you know, and it's just, it's a hard process. Yeah. And to be that way during and coming out of the pandemic, it's just, you know, it's hard to be the one on the front lines for our sustainability people. I've had
I believe it.
Yeah.
You know, they get people that are angry and all kinds of stuff.
Yep. Oh, boy.
So, you know, I say that, you know, in the spirit of you know, what we've got coming here, but it just goes to show where the state's really at with this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we're going to put on our happy face and educate and outreach and say, you know, let's go build a garden.
is there a cap on the fines? That would be my ask.
I haven't seen anything along those lines. I think that would probably fall into the area of intentional vagaries from the state. That's why I think they said, you local jurisdictions are going to write your ordinances, and in 2 years you're going to enforce them. And they got it. That's, you know, I don't know. That's what it feels like so far.
Okay.
I also read something when it came to the actual dollar fine, it was after 6 months of, you know, trying out things. So I think that the fine is so last step that they don't even know what the fine is. You know?
Right.
Well, and I think if we relate it back to our strategic plan, we want to implement this. This is good for our environment. Yes, it's going to cost us more, but we can, you know, kind of talk about the benefits, you know, environmentally.
Absolutely.
And if we can find a way so that it's just every other week pickup.
That's my hope.
I don't have that much food waste. I was telling them, I don't have food waste at my house. If I have a little bit, I have goes down the garbage disposal.
And I have teenage boys, and that's where it goes. So.
Right, poor dog.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see.
Yeah.
How this rolls out.
Thank you. Thank you very much,
John. You're quite welcome. Thank you.
Really
appreciate your interest and attention and its work.
Okay. Just keep learning. It's great.
Thanks, you guys.
See you, Jill.
Okay.
Thanks, you guys.
Great to meet you guys.
Good to meet you, Ross. Good to see you, Jeff.
All
right. Okay, with that done, now let's move to what was number one on our Department Matters. This is Accountability Act report for fiscal year 2020-21. So this is Christina. I assume, Jill, you'll cover that for us.
Yeah, I will do that.
The Accountability Act. This is what we send to the county so that we can get reimbursed from the fees that they have collected, the tax assessment that they have collected through CCNR. And really what I wanted to point out to you, which I thought was really kind of good news, is that they were overspent by about $5,700. But had we not made that one-time transfer of $17,146, they would have been in the black by 10.
And that's awesome. What was the transfer out for again, please?
It was a one-time transfer out to the district during COVID.
Oh, like for the front desk?
Yeah, for the admin support. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. That's okay. Amazing.
So I think that that's really good. I think that the legal services, as you can see, we're at $3,200.
Mm-hmm.
In the past, I think things went over to legal and were just kind of, I don't know, want to say forgotten, but they went over there and it generated a lot of fees for us. And so I think that we're actively managing that. Kate actively managing that, and I think Jim is also actively managing that. So we are just not spending the, the cost right now in legal fees, which is good because
right.
I would rather spend the money on the education compliance side rather than the.
Well, and bring it in through those ARC review fees too, for that matter.
Right, bringing it in.
Shifting it over, which is great.
And I had thought, now I know that there's a reserve, and that's in case we need to engage in a larger legal engagement. So that reserve is not used for kind of the smaller legal services, is that right?
Correct. So we budget for ongoing support. And then if a big case were to come forward where we wanted to take somebody to through the process into a judge for a judge to, you know, have a a document to compel them to comply, what we would, what our process is, would be that we would ask the attorney for a cost for that. You give us a cost. And so it would go to the CCNR committee to say, staff is recommending that we take this to full legal, and we enter the legal process and take this all the way to a judge. And this is what it's going to cost. And then at that point, if the CCNR committee also supports staff recommendation, it would go to the board. The board would then say, yes, we agree, we're going to enter into legal, and we understand what the cost is. We would then, there would be a budget adjustment at that point to put those monies into the fund. So it was, the CCNR budget was not always that way. When I got here, they were budgeting up to $50,000 a year on legal fees.
Wow.
And they were spending like 20.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Yeah, 2025. So it just, it wasn't, Kate and I worked through that and kind of made that. And it was, part of it was because we wanted to balance the budget. I said to
Beth,
you know, let's balance the budget. We don't, and I didn't think that the board would want us to have carte blanche $50,000 when it was running into the black, or running into the red and carving into the fund balance.
Yeah.
Right.
And maybe not even that effective anyway. So,
right, exactly.
That's the main thing.
Okay.
Wonderful. Awesome.
Okay. Well, this is another opportunity to put on the public record for anybody who might be listening. Is there a simple reminder? We have a very limited CCNR budget, and at some point that's going to hurt us while we are in the black. That is great management. We need more staff and support to actually effectively implement our CCNRs and do this well. So, for anybody listening, that needs to happen.
So, and I will let you know that we did hire a part-time staff person.
Great.
So that has been budgeted for in the next fiscal year. So some of the savings that we are now seeing because of these budget adjustments, we've been able to fund a part-time staff person.
That's great.
That's
that,
wonderful.
Jim is hoping to get in the field. And he's someone who is very, has had president of his HOA for 20 years. He's worked with CCNRs. He's been in the community. He lives in the community. He's been here about a year. He's retired, looking for something to do. He's knowledgeable.
Yeah.
So,
awesome.
You know, I think that Jim is feeling very good about this. So he's going to sit in the little quad area that we have in the common area.
Nice.
And he plans are for 10 to 12 hours a week.
Oh, that's great.
So good. Even just that little bit of support.
Yeah.
And can probably say that as we see that go, if that becomes effective, let's talk about increasing that, because that's, I want that for Jim. That's great.
Okay,
so this is a review and discuss item, and probably should say forward because we're taking this
to the
board of directors.
Yes.
So this will move forward then to the board for their approval. Okay. All right, so that's original item number one. Now on to item number two. First quarter fiscal year 21-22 budget and actuals. Our general manager.
Yeah. So I think Christina, you know, had a pretty thorough discussion here. We are. I am meeting with each department in the next, few weeks, and that week. Mike Grassley for parks and facilities before I left on vacation. So I think collectively we're pretty much where we want to be. There are some additional expenditures related to the Caldor fire, especially the staff costs that we will are seeking reimbursement from. We're going to send the bill to Red Cross and the county tomorrow. And then also, there is a revenue shortfall. We were have about a $6,000 loss in revenues because of the Caldor fire, because of the gym space that we were unable to rent, and potentially to others as well. But that was, you know, what we had planned was about $6,000. So.
Okay, and remind me, that's not recoverable.
We're gonna put it in.
See what
we're gonna put it in and see where it goes.
Okay.
So, Also, just a reminder, due to the nature of when the fiscal year ends in the summertime, most of the district's expenditures do happen July, August, September, that first quarter. Most of our revenues come at the end of the fiscal year when they are paying, you know, part, you know, annual passes and all that kind of stuff. So we're kind of an upside down district a little bit. So happy to take questions.
All right. I have a few, but Director Carlson, I can defer to you to start if you like.
I don't have any questions at the moment. Thank you.
Okay. Just a couple. Fire Marshal Plan Review. It's at 60% of the budget for the year already?
Yeah.
Wow. And then Lake Entries, 4180. So it's at 43% already. How is that going to cycle through the year?
So people are continuing to buy passes, which is surprising, which has not occurred in the past. So we're very excited. One of the changes we made in the program is that when you, from the day you buy your pass, it's good for 12 months. Whereas in the past, it had a specific start and ending date. And so the later in the year you bought your pass, the diminishing value you had. So our passes now are good for 12 months. And we're continuing to see people buy annual passes.
That's great.
Yeah. And a lot of it, you know, disc golf. You know, there's folks, disc golf, pickleballers, lap swim folks, you know, and knowing that it's good for 12 months, I think is really helpful.
Yeah. And it's probably worth noting, too, just a side note, some of the conversations I read on Nextdoor, there are people that, why do we do this? There's nobody in the kiosk on this day, and I go on this other day. I also do see people saying, no, I buy this pass because I want to support our district, and we need to do this. So there isn't just complaints. There's people who recognize it and do it.
Right.
It's wonderful.
We really haven't, you know, gotten into the conversation because there's enough on both sides. We just feel like, and I know that one of the things that has been talked about is going, instead of a per person fee, going to maybe a vehicle entry fee or not charging at all and things like that. And so I think this and the sale of annual passes, I think in time, you know, will become just a way to support the district.
Okay. One thing I did want to ask about interest income, 4505 on operating revenue. It's at 1%. It's a $19,000 line item. I'm curious if that's just something that's cycled where it's going to jump significantly at some point, but that's not on pace to do much of anything.
You know, and some of our, I don't know. I can ask. I'll have Christina send you an email with an explanation. How's that?
That'd be great.
Okay.
That would be great. And so the explanation, too, then, when we go to expenditures, 5010, it's the second month seasonal salaries. It's already at 58%, but that's the seasonal element of that?
Some of it is seasonal element of it, and some of it is the color of fire.
Okay. 5221, bank charges, we're at 72%. Is that bank charges as in the fees we pay for people using online payment systems, or is that our accounts? Or
the bank charge 5221, yes, that is you know, I don't know, so I will get back to you on
If you ask on that, because I'm hopeful that is corresponding with revenue coming in, but that's almost three quarters of the expense for the year in the first quarter.
Well, and it could be, I just don't remember if it's our bank, if it's our credit card fees, or if it's our banking fees, and I don't know. So
So yeah, if you could check on that.
I will check on that.
Let's see, what else was there? Fifty-three, fifty-five. Grounds maintenance or maintenance grounds. It's almost at 50% through the first quarter.
Yes, and a little bit of that is related to the solar project. So I asked Mike to have a landscape company come and clean up after the solar project.
Once it's all done,
did not look good. There was a lot of the shrubs were, broken or dead, and irrigation.
It was a construction company trying to do landscaping.
And it was right when we were opening, and so I just, the Cal Tower fire evacuation shelter, it was just like, Mike, get somebody in here and clean it up. So we will either absorb that cost somewhere within the district, or we will ask for a mid-year budget adjustment to pay for that.
Okay. Okay, and then last one, just to make sure I'm understanding, 5420, our professional services. Mm-hmm. That's at 51%. So that's MRG, that's calendar,
No, it's not calendar. It's ARC is in there.
Okay.
And your general manager search
MRG,
is in there.
Yeah.
So I think it's calendar and your GM search.
Okay.
Or not calendar, ARC and your
ARC,
GM search.
ARC and MRG, okay.
And there's a third one in there. So I'm not sure what the third one in there, but that's two of the three.
Okay.
And ARC, ARC will be done here. we will start getting Brighton energy bills next month. And ARC will be done probably by the first of the year. They'll have their final walkthrough, and we'll be live at that point. And then your GM searches.
Great. Okay. Spectacular. That was all my questions. Anything else, Director Carlson?
I guess just one question from the beginning and the income side, operating revenue. Line 4262, fire apparatus equipment rental. I'm just surprised we didn't rent equipment out for the Caldor fire.
We haven't received any of those revenues.
Oh, okay.
So, and I believe how it's budgeted is that a small portion of those revenues will come into the operating budget to maintain the fire engines, and the rest will go into the reserves. But those revenues generally are, checks from the state are very delayed.
And those usually go straight into reserve. They don't come through the general fund, correct?
A portion of them will be, so when Laura receives the check, a portion of it will be coded for the general fund, but then the balance will go into the reserves.
Because there's $10,000 budgeted to go into the general fund.
Right.
Okay, that helps. So it's a timing thing.
Yeah.
Well,
wouldn't it be accrual accounting, though? Doesn't it accrual accounting?
We don't do accrual accounting.
Oh!
So, is actually a conversation that we should have, because then this revenue will be applied for when we spend the money. Right now, we don't do that. That's why you have all of your expense. So really, the day campers that are signing up for day camp all summer in May and June, that all of that revenue, or some of that revenue, is actually paying for the campers that were there the previous summer. So at some point, implementing an accrual accounting system would help kind of even out those revenues a little bit.
Well, and from what we did last year, it was budgeted 10, and then we had so much rental use that we doubled that and allocated 20 instead. So we're just waiting to see what we get, and you'll bring that forward to budget admin. Okay. Great. All right. Anything else? Okay. So, all right, so this is a receive and forward to the board of directors, so we forward that on to them. Good things to report there. All right, so with that, now we move to staff updates. Start with the check register review. I have no questions on the check register tonight. Do you have any?
Yeah, I just have a couple. I don't even know what page this is, but I see that, and I'm glad we do this, but you know, we're the district has an annual membership with the Chamber of Commerce.
Yes.
Is that, how does that work? Does that mean board members are members of the chamber?
Yes.
Okay.
Our agency and our board members, and I'm not sure, we are members of the county chamber, mm-hmm. and then we are also members of the Shingle Springs Cameron Park Chamber.
Okay. Sorry, I'm just laughing because I kind of keep track of these things in my mind, too. Mm-hmm. So awesome. And then the next page, I see that they're... aerial map of Cameron Park for the new GM, so that's great. And I'm just curious, is that like the one that you have in your office?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Updated.
Okay.
Awesome. It's updated, and it has all of our park locations. That one doesn't have any park locations on it.
Okay.
So I had them add the park locations, and then I also had them add our sphere of influence boundaries.
Yeah.
So it has.
You can see that.
Sphere of influence boundaries and our park locations.
Okay.
And so I have a digital copy, and so I'll go, yeah, so.
Send it.
So
I'll make it my screensaver.
I like that.
Yeah, so that was the easiest phone. I just thought, oh, who am I gonna get to do this? But the county GIS unit does this.
Yeah.
You charge $100 an hour. It was the easiest phone call I made.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
That's so great.
They sent it right away. They had a really quick turnaround, and I need to go get it blown up and put up on the wall.
Right.
Okay.
Those are my questions.
Great. All right. Check register review. Finance office monthly report. This was to be an oral report. Christina's not here. Do you have anything to give us?
We have... failed to fill the full-time board clerk accounting specialist one position. I think since we have provided us a full-time position, we made either two or three offers. All have been declined.
Oh no! My gosh.
I know. And so, and I don't know that it's anything that we're necessarily doing wrong. And what has been so funny, and I'll just share this anecdote with you, both. Abby, who was here all of, two or three months?
Yeah.
She keeps texting me to see how things are going.
Oh.
And then Harry, who was here for, I think, two or three weeks and said, no, this is not the gym. She keeps so everybody really liked it. We just haven't found the right person.
Oh my gosh.
You know, to do this. And so I think at this point, we're just going to pause. I think recruiting during the holidays is not necessarily a good thing. We will wait for our new GM, and then they can decide, you know, how best to move forward. But, you know, I think that there are a couple of candidates that weren't of the caliber. You know, it was difficult for me to make a decision because I'm not living on with this person, and so it was important for me that Christina and Laura had buy-in, and I think that they're looking for a certain caliber of a person. And,
yeah.
So I think that this will be a test for the new
group. Yeah, and with that person's networks. Who knows?
Yes, exactly. They're going to come with different networks.
Might be. Would the county have any lists or names or connections of people who could step in on a temporary basis, even just for the board clerk role, through the different things that they have? I don't know if that's worth asking.
We can certainly ask. You know.
Some if there says, oh yeah, no, someone's all retired, they'd be happy to fill in for a month or two.
You know,
or just people.
Retired annuitants and things like that. I mean,
yeah.
That's how Kathy Matranga Cooper came to the district, because she was a retired annuitant. And so that was a good fit for a really long time. So, you know, I think between Christina and I, and, you know, Kayla's helping as well. You know, we're piecing it together. I think it's, you know, it'll be good for the new general manager to kind of be familiar with that desk and what that desk does.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll kind of force that. So
I'm just curious, the retired annuitants, are they retired from any PERS?
Yeah, they're retired from PERS.
Oh, okay. So it's like a state retired annuitant or a whatever retired. Okay.
Yeah, somebody that has that public sector you know.
Because I've worked with charge annuitants at the state, and I know their program is called Boomerang.
Oh.
It's kind of like their temp agency. Like when I retire, I can, if I want, go register in Boomerang, and then people looking for retired annuitants can go into Boomerang and look through the people there. But I just didn't realize it was cross agency, if you will, like state to local and other locals, and that means there's like a huge pool actually.
There's a lot of retired annuitants out there that would like, to continue to work. So I think it's a great job for somebody. I mean, I think that once you learn it, it's pretty repetitive. I don't want to say repetitive, but it's pretty routine,
Right.
Routine, consistent, he's predictable.
Yeah. And, it's a good, work location. We're a friendly group of people. So I just think that we haven't landed on the right person.
Okay.
All right.
We'll keep doing that. So, keep posting that on LinkedIn. So you guys see that pop up.
Yeah, so Christina is working on that. They're also actively engaged with our auditor. And so they're keeping up with the auditor as well, even without having that other part-time person. So they're doing that. They're doing the GASB. I Bailey is working on GASB, whatever that is, related to the audit. So they are actively working on the audit. And I think it's Christina's goal to get that to you by December.
Interesting too, like if and when state agencies start requiring people to go back to work in person, that's what I'm telling you, gotta advertise on the bus stop. I'm not joking. You'll have people that are like, I'm not commuting anymore, and then
I reached out there, and then I also reached out to Folsom Lake College to post it on Folsom Lake College, and I finally got a hold of it, kind of went around, and I got a hold of somebody, and then they were like, oh no, we use this software website, and here's how you it on it. And so then I got on it, and then I needed something, and she goes, if you have any questions, email me back. I emailed her back, and
I'm sorry.
Nothing.
That's frustrating. Yeah.
So anybody, when she emailed me back, she like, oh, we're so short staff. I'm so sorry it took you so long. And I'm just like, well, I'm just trying to find some help.
Yeah.
But I was talking to Vicki Sanders while we were waiting for the board meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Introduced Eric. She said her parks department with the county, full turnover of staff. She said she lost every single staff person she had during the COVID.
You are kidding.
He said, well, we lost over half. So,
how many staff?
Well, she's a pretty small department, maybe 10, but so she's
still
a
lot. That's significant.
It's so funny, a little sideways, but I've been trying to recruit for my own positions at the state, and I told you we had one guy, and he came, and then he left after, 3 days later, he's like, I'm leaving, and our second choice was gone, and anyway, so we're now trying to get we just got all our applications, and the first time we advertised the job, we got about 60 applications. This time, same job, reposted, we got 10 applications. So I'm like, I don't know what's going on.
Very fluid.
Okay, so there's our finance office monthly report. Any legislative updates?
Today, we advocated for funding for the American Rescue Funds, and Eric got a very nice pat on the back from Carolyn Brooks, the director of libraries for the county. Good job. So. The county is investing in infrastructure. That was the board direction back in July before they got all the applications in. So, and there is a lot of infrastructure. There's a lot of money to nonprofits and small businesses. And there was a lot of money to health and human services.
And water systems, wastewater. Wastewater management.
Water systems and broadband.
Yeah, and broadband. So.
So it was
There were about 7 or 8 of the groups that applied that made up the whole allocation in this proposal in the draft. And so now the board, I didn't know how it ended with the Board of Supervisors, but I think they're going to talk about it and come back to it, or what happened?
November 9th. So they continued the item. They closed public testimony. So that's key. So there will not be any additional public testimony.
Right.
They close public testimony and they continue the item to November 9th. So they will take back up the conversation. So we have about a week. I thought I would reach out to Lori and George and see if they have any additional questions for us, if they'd like more information.
Yeah. I'd be very happy to talk with them.
I'm happy to reach out to Haidal if, or you can, either way.
Yeah, I'm happy to reach out to them all too, just to talk, just to answer questions, whatever.
Yeah.
But just,
yeah.
I think we have a decent case. And looking at all of those proposals, because I scanned through that whole thing,
yeah,
a lot of what's there feels like a wish list. And yes, some of that's related, some of it is helpful, and it's infrastructure and supportive. I didn't see the direct line on a lot of these things to the impact of COVID.
No, I didn't. I did not either. And
whereas ours was straight line.
There was a straight line there. Also, I am concerned. Well, I'm wondering. So the allocation, this isn't what they may do, is allocate some, but not all of it.
Right.
And so I'm wondering if there's going to be funding in the future available to us, again, because like Health and Human Services, increasing services, but not hiring full-time staff, doing it on part-time staff and contractors, it's like, I don't know how successful you're going to be hiring part-time staff and contractors to deliver services, you know, unless you're paying a mint.
Yeah.
And an hourly rate, you know, so I just don't know how they can spend that much money that fast, I guess is what I'm saying.
Yeah. Well, and I would hope that it sounded like they were thinking in a framework of doing some now, some later, which would might actually make it a better case for us now.
Mm-hmm.
Because
right.
If somebody,
we're easy. I mean,
we're easy. Even if they just decide on the 202,000 that we would have gotten from the state if
mm-hmm.
if our fourth quarter 2020 could be applied
mm-hmm.
to the consideration. If they did that,
mm-hmm.
that would be spectacular.
So
yeah, I guess we'll see. So feel free to email your supervisor and
uh-huh.
and chime in
I
on that.
I Haidal better.
He it takes three votes.
Yeah.
It really does. And one of the comments that I made at the meeting, I actually spoke to each of the supervisors. Mr. Haidal put forth one of the redistricting proposals. I don't know if you've seen those.
Mm-hmm.
It's the Haidal proposal. And one of the comments in the explanation for it is it's centered around population centers. So El Dorado Hills, Cameron Park, Placerville, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
And he pointed out that some of these proposals actually split Cameron Park in half. Not just little section here, little section there, but there's one proposal that splits us in half and sections us off to El Dorado Hills in two districts.
Mm-hmm.
And he recognized that that's not good. So I thanked him for that, recognizing that Cameron Park needs to have a voice, a unified voice at the county level.
Mm-hmm.
Please hear this now.
So I
think Haidal recognizes our value too. So appreciate that from him. So anyway, any other?
Thanks for doing that.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, really nothing else, you know, active on the legislature.
Okay. All right, so we've done item D already. We moved that to first. So number four, items for December and future committee meetings. El Dorado Disposal and Food Waste Recycling, that will be coming to the full board in November. So that's not an item for us.
And is this something, so, and I wanted to have the conversation without Jeff and Ross here. I mean, I agree getting information out now is a good idea, and
mm-hmm.
we're doing the newsletter
mm-hmm.
and things like that. But having a big splash with an activity and a workshop, inviting the community in and giving prizes and all of that, is that the best timing? Because that's so early and we aren't collect doing any fee adjustments until much later? And would it be better to do something once it or in early 2022?
Well, my only concern in that is we really only have 3 months to figure this out. Mm-hmm. Because we've got to make the decision on the fees
right.
in March, April.
Mm-hmm.
So it takes, as you know, 2 or 3 or 4
right.
touches
yeah.
for people
yeah.
to get it.
Yeah, and I'm not opposed. I just wanted to throw it out if you felt that it was good timing in November, or would it be better to start in January?
My initial response is I think it's good to start in November because nobody's going to pay attention to it in December.
Mm-hmm.
And if we hit it again in January, hey, it's a new year, new things, new organics recycling program, that becomes our second touch and a reminder because people are going to forget over the 2 weeks when they have the tryptophan naps and or whatever the turkey things are.
Well, my other concern is they hadn't even started the pilot program yet.
Yeah, and we went on long enough. I didn't want to ask that question because we've been talking about this, and I'm curious what delayed that so long.
I don't know that there's an explanation other than as all agencies suffering from COVID and staffing vacancies.
I think
it's really has taken a toll on it. But, you know, so I'm just a little concerned about not having this pilot program in place and having us linked to El Dorado Hills, which seems to be slowing down the process.
Correct. Well, and it sounded like they were willing to shift that if they didn't get.
Yeah, so I hope they shift it quickly.
And I can see why they're doing it where they are. Those are linked neighborhoods,
yeah,
and it's great overlap and all that. But yeah, if they can't get to it sooner, then they, for our sake, they need to do that sooner. So, okay. And that'll be a question we can bring up to them in a couple weeks.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I'll move ahead and see if we can pull something together for November.
Sounds good. Okay, so items to take to the Board of Directors. We're taking the Accountability Act report for fiscal year 2020-21 and the first quarter fiscal year 21-22 budget to actuals.
And those are both on consent.
Correct. Okay, so with that, we move to matters to and from committee members and staff. Dr. Carlson, any matters?
Yep, I just really enjoyed getting to be a judge at the Boo Bash of little kids' costumes. They were adorable.
I can hardly believe we had 450 people.
It was like a pivot. I feel like it was a huge pivot in our community.
Oh yeah.
Of people coming out and feeling together. It was awesome.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm so glad I'm not one of the recreation staff right now, and this is so much fun. they were amazing.
Yeah, because I know that was probably twice or three times the number of people that they were thinking
would come. Wow, that's phenomenal. Well, thank you for doing that.
Oh.
I'm sorry I was not available to come. I wanted to, but I already had other things on my calendar.
It was so amazing.
So good. I'm glad you guys were here. You guys had a good time. Well, we've got Christmas tree lighting,
yeah.
Santa swim,
and the Christmas craft fair.
Christmas craft fair.
Right, that's the 20th, I think. Saturday.
The tree lighting. I know it's not us that really necessarily does the logistics, but I've heard that the choir sings a little close to the highway, and it's hard to hear them. And maybe it would be better. If
I don't know that we're going to do a choir or a band. We've done a choir before. We've done a band before.
Okay.
It's dark out there,
and it's
a little odd, and to be really honest, that this is our second Christmas tree, and it is very unhealthy again, so I don't know if the location is bad.
That might be, because we've been through a few there.
Yeah.
I sang at it 13 or 14 years ago, just the lighting, and we've gone through, I don't know how many.
Yeah, so we will be probably talking to the Committee. We hope it'll be healthy enough for in a month.
Okay.
We may have to really rethink that.
New tree? Okay.
New location.
Like by the highway. It's just a nice touch. Okay. All right. Anything else, Jill? All right. My only report was what we talked about. Was at the Board of Supervisors meeting, and that was a wonderful 3.5-hour education.
Thank you again.
you're welcome.
Good thing he had his laptop.
Yeah, I graded papers. It was great. Okay. So with nothing else on matters to and from, we move now to adjournments. So we will have a move to adjourn the meeting.
A second.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Silence. All right. So we are adjourning the meeting at 8:19 p.m. Thank you. Great.